Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Viewers, the information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Evening, everyone. Welcome back, my friends, once again to another episode of Friday Night Livestream. Do me a favor, don't forget to like and share the broadcast. Help us by getting it out there on your favorite social media platforms. We are live on Rumble, Hill.net, The Foxhole, over there on Getter, CloudHub, Trovo, Pure Social. Might be a couple other ones in there. I can't remember. Listen, tonight I'm extremely excited. Very talented young man. Very important aspect of our truth and freedom movement. Absolute 1776. Also, just very recently, started branching out from videography, truth-telling online, to podcasting as well. So we're going to be talking about that journey he's had. We're going to talk about a lot of different issues. I think it's going to be a very didactic conversation. You guys are really going to enjoy it. And we're going to be checking out some of his work while we're here, too. Do me a favor, sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and we'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us, and please join me in welcoming our guest for this evening, Absolute 1776, or as he's also known, Paul or even Zero. What's going on, Paul? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I am excellent, excellent. So we are going to check out some of your work, but before we begin, we were kind of having our own conversation before we began, and you made a very important point that before a lot of us started getting into podcasting and doing like organized presentations, a lot of us were just conspiracy theorists, you know, and I think nowadays the word conspiracy theorist is almost a derogatory term, because as we've come to find out, these conspiracy theories quite often are conspiracy fact. There's really no theory about it. These are just conspiracies that people engage in and that people like us are exposing. So I guess the first question I have for you is I want to know how you got into the idea of truth telling online, how you got into the idea of exposing things like we were discussing.
Yeah, this is, you know, as I've started like making the podcast circuit and getting more and more used to it, this is a question I've been asked often, and it's one I just love to answer because it's an awesome story. You know, it didn't happen recently. I was 10, 11 years old, and I'd go into my dad's bedroom with him later at night, and he's in there listening to the radio, and he'd be listening to Coast AM in the morning with Art Bell.
Good stuff.
And yeah, so here's this 10, 11-year-old kid listening to shows about Area 51 and the JFK assassination and all these different conspiracy theories throughout the years. And so at a young age, I like had a seed planted that things are not as we're told, and they're not as you're taught in school. And one of my funniest stories is getting suspended in eighth grade for getting in an argument with my history teacher about the JFK assassination and just like standing my ground as a 12-year-old. There's just no way Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. Man, it's just not possible. And the look on his face when I'm like, look, man, he didn't fire those six shots in 3 seconds was just like, I've just kind of always been that way, man. Like even if the truth hurts, I'm a big fan of people need to have the truth. And so it's always kind of sent me down one rabbit hole or another. And I would say I was about 50% red pilled until Trump took office and Q made an appearance. And we all really kind of started digging and realizing how deep it goes and how dark it all really was. Before then I was your typical 9/11 was a bullshit inside job. The Boston bombing was a false flag. Like I was pretty wise to all that stuff. I was completely blindsided by the depth of the communist infiltration in this country. So that was a major red pill for me to swallow in later years. So yeah, I kind of found my way into it because of my dad and getting kind of taken away by these mythical conspiracies that you start reading more and more about. And you're like, this doesn't seem very far-fetched at all. And that led me toward Reddit. I think I got involved in Reddit sometime in 2013 or 14. And at that time I was just kind of trolling subs and getting involved a little bit here and there. And I found our conspiracy and I'd start writing posts here and there about various things like Antarctica or UFOs and aliens and ancient civilizations and false flags and things of this nature. And I kind of started gaining a little bit of a following in there. And so far as like, I'd make a post, there'd always be the same people there. And the post would kind of climb up the top of the board. And I eventually found myself a moderator over there. And our conspiracy at the time, and I think it still is the largest conspiracy message board on the internet. It has well over a million subscribers. And so at one point I was one of like 20 moderators on that channel trying to keep it clean for a million different people. And, I won't clog up too much of the time with what happened over there, but I saw it from the ground up, like from the back door, get taken down by folks like Media Matters and ShareBlue and people who just Reddit was really the first, in my opinion, the first ground zero where they really began testing censorship of differing ideas and different thoughts and putting things behind all kinds of verification walls and making communities private against their will. And it was really kind of for me a testing ground. And of course at that time it was the same time that Ellen Powell had taken over control of Reddit.
Right.
And she has many a CCP ties. So it was pretty obvious to see what they did with Reddit. And then after Reddit you started seeing the same thing happen on Twitter with the bot farms and the shills and trolls going over there. So seeing that from the background kind of took me from more of a I'm going to do digs and write articles action to more of a what can I do to actually cause some disruptions or actually get people awake to how this is really going down. Like there's so many facets of what we're fighting. So that led me toward Twitter. And I just kind of ended up over there and was kind of floating around. And I slowly started parsing together what accounts were the right ones to follow. And just kind of started following folks like yourself and IET and Awakened Outlaw and, you know, Julian's Rum and just the folks everybody knows that were kind of like the original folks over on Twitter starting to get it going. And, I guess I was just smart ass enough or funny enough or just intelligent enough to start getting noticed by some of you folks. And you guys kind of drew me up a little bit and kind of quite a few of you were sharing my posts before I was really, you know, anything to write home about as far as an account that was recognized or whatnot. And so that led into going into a group on Twitter called A-Team where there was a bunch of us who were just basically friends in a group chat on Twitter that helped share each other's posts and do concerted digs together. And that ended up becoming We the Media. And, honestly, my involvement in the movement has been 100% organic. It's not been really my approaching anybody to be involved in any kind of group or people I associate with. It's just kind of happened and it's been super organic and it's been super enjoyable. And I kind of feel like I'm getting to a point, of course, making these videos for Seth, and you and I have discussed this in text messaging before too. It's I've done a lot of really cool stuff in the movement, but that's the first thing I've done that really is making me feel like I'm having a tangible effect on saving the country. And I can't tell you how humbling it is, man. It's you know, so that's it. That's kind of how I got to where I'm at. That's kind of how I got started in digging for the truth. And I've always maintained an interest in writing. And I was telling you shortly before we came on air that my father spent his entire life in television. So I was around that stuff for countless hours in my youth and even into my late teens. And so it's really not that different for me to try to start putting myself out there in this manner. And it just seems like the next logical step to me. I admire guys like yourself and John and other, you know, people I'm surely forgetting now who have said, we're going to put aside the veil a little bit and show who we are and just be real people talking to other real people that just want legitimate, honest news and takes on things without a kind of spin on it. Like, I'm very much like you, man. I just want to present people with information, and what they do from it or what they do with it from there is ultimately up to them. And I just want to spread as much information, whether it be through my videos or writings or podcast appearances, that I can. I just want to kind of try to help save my country and wake people up in the process.
Right on. Yeah, you've done incredible work, really great digs, really impactful videos as well. And next, I want to play one of your videos. Now, not everybody here in the audience is familiar with your work. So real quick, before I key up this video, tell everybody where you are producing work and what exactly is it in terms of form.
All right. So I have a couple different angles I attack videos from. The easiest one to explain right now, what I currently work for Captain Seth Keschel, and I help edit his election fraud videos. So some of you out there who may follow him, if you see him sharing the videos a couple times a day that are breaking down the margins and trends of registration numbers and just voting trends in and of themselves, I'm the dude that edits those videos for him. And so that process is fairly straightforward, and it's you know, he sends me slides from his Mac where he's broken down all the data, and he's got the voiceover going with it. And I go in, and the finished product you see on his page is what I've done. And it's been super educational and super informative for me. I mean, I knew I was pretty deep into the election fraud digging and research myself, but this stuff has just given me a whole other angle to approach it from. When you see President Trump have gains of 80,000 in one county from 2016 to 2020, and somehow Biden still outpaces him in that county when all the registration trends were leaning toward Republican to begin with. It's just a whole nother facet of how they went about this, and it's super fascinating. So anybody who may be interested in checking that series out can do it at rumble.com/thebattlegrounds. And we've got roughly over 100 episodes up there now. We've done well over a handful of different states and various counties within each state. And it's kind of had a tangible impact, man, which is awesome. So aside from that, I also, one of my knacks is kind of I'm a big music fan. I was a musician for quite a long time. I'm a drummer and I'm a writer as well. So like, I've always kind of been drawn to music and the messages that you can draw from music and the way you can kind of take your own meaning from so many different songs. So you know, one night a couple years ago, just as kind of like a challenge to myself, I went on that little, you know, everybody has the iMovie clip editing app on their phone. And I was just kind of like, you know, I've always had an interest in video editing. When my dad worked in television, I'd often find myself in the editing suites, like watching these guys edit, just kind of seeing what they were doing. And I was like, I'm just going to kind of cobble together a little video and see how it goes. And that's kind of grown into what I do now, which is I'll randomly pick a song which I feel like may resonate with what the world is going through or what us as a movement are going through. Or sometimes it may just be something that's a straight Trump hype video or an American hype video or something. And I try to take what I'm feeling from the lyrics and present that in a visual representation to either A, help people realize they don't feel alone in this war we're in, or B, help people realize that, you know, God is always there and will be led through this. I'm not shy about putting references to Jesus or my own faith in my videos. I try to do it in a way that doesn't force it upon others, but I also do it in a way that doesn't hide it from people either. And so basically every video I make ultimately has some kind of a message, something I'm saying through the video, like something I'm trying to put out through the video, because I've always been fairly a shy person myself. So the videos I make are my way of commenting and saying what I feel like is going on in the world and what I kind of see happening from a 40,000 foot view. It's dude, I fell completely ass backwards into it, and it's become my niche. So it's, I love it. I love the reactions. I love seeing people connect with them. I love seeing videos that lift people up after they watch them. I love seeing videos that give people hope and optimism, like after I've made them and I see the comments. And my favorite comments are the people that just say that struck a chord and really lifted me up today. Like, I don't know that there's any better work to do. I don't know there's any better way I could like walk in my light and help others through these dark times and produce art the way I know how and give people hope through it.
All right. Awesome. So I think that's a perfect point to go ahead and play this video. Do you have anything else specifically about this video that you want to say for the audience before we turn it on?
This is the Heathens one that I sent you earlier, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. This video, that kind of came out of nowhere before we went to the pit. And, you know, I specifically kind of made it for all those folks going that weekend. Cause I know even though a lot of us never really said it, we kind of had a little bit of nerves going on and everything. Sure. So, this video was kind of my way of saying to all you guys are kind of my warriors and my heroes. And I'm glad to be in this foxhole with you, and that God was going to have our back no matter what, because our mission is righteous. So I hope everybody out there enjoys this one. I truly do.
Okay, awesome. Without further ado, here we go. Okay. All right, hold on just a second. Oh! The sound didn't work.
See the crooks and thieves rioting the renegade streets, working for the devil's deed. The torture, the work is done. I've said I've come to save the weak. A lame man walks, a blind man sees. A hinder land where no one's free. I know that the day will come. Shadows rise, step out of the darkness and into the light. The morning light underneath the full moon bright, whiskey and a little moonshine, they dance with the rising sun. The wicked rule in lawless land, wash the blood off from their hands, scheming with their evil plans, but justice soon will come. Wrong is right, no one knows what's black and white, so join the fight. Calling all
to run to the trouble, folks. And what is the trouble? The trouble is the Biden administration that is seeking to turn this country into a socialist hellhole. The trouble is Antifa, that wants to roam the streets and beat you into submission.
Calling on you.
There ain't no reason to be afraid. And there ain't no reason to not take the challenge. Get on. Because I'm going to tell you who we come from. We don't come from some weak, jellyback, spineless. That's not who we come from. None of us.
They have ruined Election Day in the United States of America. That's provable. And that's enough for me to fight the left with every fiber in my body.
Man, every time I see one of your videos, it is like a shot of energy in my brain. Like, I don't know how anybody couldn't watch one of your videos and not immediately have it resonate deeply within them. Like, you know that the world is on fire. Something is deeply, deeply wrong. And we have to do something about it immediately. We have to be directly involved because we have to be responsible for the future of mankind, for saving our nation. Because if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. So I absolutely love it. 100%.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. That's why I try to get together. You know, I do the Nothing Can Stop What's Coming podcast on Sunday nights with my buddy Thomas, True Reporting. And, you know, I'm like the eternal optimist. You know, I always have the hope that we're always going to come through this and we're going to win. But I think it's important to note that just because I believe that doesn't mean that you sit home and do nothing. It means that you know, my hope is somebody watches one of my videos and goes and decides to maybe become a poll watcher, or they decide to go get involved on a local level and speak at a city council meeting to talk about something they know is wrong in their city and they want to help fix it, or go and speak at the parent-teacher meeting or the school board meeting. Like, that's kind of the hope I get from my videos, is that it fires people up to take local action. Like, I've never once, nor anybody you or I personally know, have I ever seen them saying, you know, yeah, no, we just sit on our couch and let, you know, Q come in and save the day. Like, mm-hmm. That's not what it is at all. I think that, you know, if my videos can serve a purpose of firing people up and getting them to go out there and take local action, of course, I don't mean illegal action, violent action. I don't mean stuff like that. We don't operate that way.
Ourselves. No glowies in this chat. No,
no. We operate within the confines of the law, and we do it in a righteous manner. And so that's what I try to evoke in people, make them realize that, look, something's not right, but you also have to understand that there are a lot of people fighting for it too. There are a lot of good people fighting a good fight right now that are taking it to the bad guys to a level I've never seen in all the years I've been researching all this stuff. You know, they're always in the shadows, right? You know, they're always kind of hidden under the rug. You don't see what's going on. And so I've just never seen the deep state so exposed. And so absolutely. I think that's another reason I try to help continue people to push on and move forward and not lose their hope and faith. I don't care if it's a baby step, man. We all feel heavy right now. Just take a tiny step forward. It's a step forward. That's what matters.
No, you're 100% right. And to the point that you made at the beginning of that monologue, not just sitting home and expecting somebody else to do it. You know, that is like the number one criticism that I hear of people in the modern day truth and freedom movement. Oh, you think Trump's going to save you. You think Q is going to trust the plan. You know, that's not what's going on. You know, this was a movement that was designed to activate America and the rest of the world, because the problems that we're facing here are not confined to the borders of this nation. I mean, this is truly a global criminal conspiracy that's designed to enslave all of mankind. And people were asleep. President Trump was a catalyst, okay? He started something. When those posts started coming out and people started paying attention to it and took their own destiny into their own hands and stopped just accepting the propaganda that was coming from the mainstream media or from the mouthpieces of the government, you're right, something changed. We truly do have the deep state on the ropes. And that is not a reason to rest on your laurels and believe that everything's going to be okay. You know, at the end of the day, I always have that trust God mentality. You know, I know that there is only so much that's within my own personal sphere of influence. There's only so much that each one of us can do. But only by all of us doing as much as we can we expect that we're going to get the result that we want, that God is going to win in the end. You know, faith without works is dead. We have that self-determination. We have free will to make the decision to either be a part of the solution or to be a part of the problem and just sit home. And as far as I can tell, the people who are in our sphere are not those people sitting at home. We have active, involved people in the conservative movement, and that's something that we did not have before President Trump came along.
No, I don't think so at all. It went super stagnant. Like, apathy was pregnant, or apathy was present everywhere.
Yeah.
Within the GOP and generally truthers in general, until Trump came around, conspiracy theorists and truthers, and myself included in this, until Trump popped up, we were all pretty black-pilled, my dude. Like, there was no light at the end of the tunnel. We all saw the light at the end of the tunnel, but we saw it as a train. And I spoke about this with J.B. White on our sports broadcast earlier. I readily admit it. Like, I was duped by Obama in 08, man. Like, you know, I thought that was dude was going to do something. It's because I wasn't at that level of being red-pilled yet where I realized that simply everything was controlled at that point. No matter who was going to end up there was going to go with some sort of communist totalitarian agenda to sink America in the long run. You know, but I started wising up quickly after that. By the time 2012 came around, I was really starting to open my eyes to what was going on here. And, you know, Trump comes around in 2016, and my first thought is like, this, he can't really Donald Trump, like, we're going to have to vote for this guy to maybe be the president of this country. Like, you mean the dude that was like, you're fired? Like, the same dude that shaved Vince McMahon's head at WrestleMania. Like, I may very well have to go cast a vote for this guy because there's no way I'm voting for the shit sandwich known as Hillary Clinton. Like, I just remember thinking to myself, this absolutely has to be some sort of a clown show. And he starts really getting into his campaign and the debates. And, you know, he's saying these things that to folks like us who have been kind of red-pilled and awake for a while, he's starting to say things that, you know, people like me and you immediately realize is him throwing darts right at him. Like, it's kind of like, wait a second, he's not necessarily speaking to the public right there. Like, he's telling them, like, this isn't what you got. I'm not the Pied Piper you guys think I'm going to be, you know? Yeah. And it got to the Al Smith dinner the week before the election. And I remember watching that, and I was like 5 minutes into his monologue, and I'm like, hey, guys, this dude's not one of them at all. Like, look at old boy over his right shoulder. Trump's been speaking for 5 minutes. This dude with the Knights of Malta cross around his neck is sweating bullets. So something is afoot. And so that's really when Trump won me over, and I made the decision to vote for him in 2016 was right then. You know, and it just, you know, in this movie or this whatever it is we're watching, man, just the fact that it's come to Donald Trump, and then you start seeing him as so much more than the caricature that's been presented over the years, and you realize that there's probably been something at play with this guy for far longer than a lot of us realize. And, yeah. You know, it's just, I've gotten to a point where I'm not even shy really with friends or family anymore about supporting him, because I think at this point with everything we've seen the Biden regime do, that we're getting to a point to where it's safe to say you supported Trump, because these folks realize it. They realize the mistake that has been made. And that encourages the hell out of me, man, because I know so many, even independents and leftists that just voted against Trump because Orange Man bad and mean tweets. Man, it's hurting them. I know more than a couple people that want their mean tweets and cheap gas back. And
that's great. See, I don't know any leftists in real life. I mean, it's pretty base down here in Florida, like every single person that I've met since I moved here. And back in Michigan, Ohio was nothing to worry about. But where I lived in Michigan, there was a bunch of nutters there. Like seriously, people who would have burned down my house if they knew what I did in real life. And so I just kept my political views to myself. And that was a huge part of the reason why I went online, because I was already talking to people about it there. But your point about Donald Trump, I was so blackpilled with Obama. I was like, it's over. America's done. There's no way we're fixing this. And I said, and when Donald Trump came down that escalator, something inside me, I was like, this is different. But I said, regardless, even if I'm wrong, okay, because I expected things were going to be different in 2008 too. And then I learned who Obama really was. And I was like, okay, that's, you know, I got took. Once Donald Trump came down the escalator, and and especially, well, before that speech that will get Donald Trump elected, once I heard that, I was like, I 100% know with every fiber of my being that this man is exactly what I want him to be. But before that, I was like, I'm going to vote for the guy from The Apprentice because I'm ready to burn the whole mother effer down. At this point, it doesn't matter to me, because otherwise it's lost anyways. Real quick, Paul, I need to say thank you to Low Country of Brooklyn. She said, say hello to the future governor of the great state of North Carolina.
Amen.
And then Carnivorous Vegan says, great work, you two. RP78, did you ever do a series on how to podcast and where? I haven't done it yet, and it's something that I have always meant to do, but I work so much already, and I just picked up a whole bunch of new shows, and that was something that I wanted to ask you about here real quick, but we've got to take a break for the second half of the show, and we'll be right back after this, guys. Thanks for sticking around while we pay some bills. All right, guys, thank you. All right, now, Paul, you mentioned the show that you do with Thomas, but... And you also mentioned We the Media, but man, we are also compatriots on the brand new Badlands Media. A big shout out to John Patel Patriot and Kate for putting all this together. But you are also going to be doing a number of shows on Badlands as well, right?
I am, man. And it's somewhere between the line of awesome and overwhelming. Because up until the summer, I was kind of like, crap posting background guy. Like, I'd throw up a decode here or there, a video or a meme, and like kind of flew under the radar. Like, it kind of became an inside joke with a few people that I was like one of the most under the radar 30,000 accounts in history, like just kind of, you know, doing my thing. And so then the opportunity with Seth came up, and that bumped the profile a bit more, and then the videos started getting a little more notoriety, and like it just all kind of happened fast, man. And so I'm, you know, I was telling you before we came on air, I'm actually like a super private and reclusive dude. So I'm like the definition of an Anon. Like, you know, I've always been behind the avatar and never so much as leaked my name or anything like that. But, you know, I don't know if it was divine providence or really kind of getting way stronger in my faith or really truly deep in my soul, accepting what it means to wear the armor of God day in and day out and walk in that trust and faith. But I'm getting to a place to where kind of revealing myself is becoming something I'm looking forward to. And podcasts are a natural kind of segue into that because, you know, I've always kind of had a fear of public speaking and speaking to people. And, you know, I've always kind of been self-conscious about it or a little bit anxious about it. And so doing the shows like this without quite showing my full on face yet or being live on camera yet has really allowed me to kind of ease into it. And so I'm really looking forward to the opportunities I've got coming up with Badlands and some of the other stuff I've got working in the background too. Like, I'm going to be doing a show once a week with Stormy Patriot Joe that's going to be basically about Q, and it's going to be, you know, half of it dedicated toward kind of going over the drops that happened in the past week of the show. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of future proofs past and showing how a lot of current events are tying to these drops. And we're really aiming for a way to kind of help people new to Q understand Q and understand that the things that have been said about Q and the Q movement as a whole about, you know, far right extremists and what have you. We've heard all the slurs. There's no reason to keep giving them energy by mentioning them all. But we aim to show that that's all a fallacy, that we can show you that this is legitimate. And so that's what we're going to try to do with that. And twice a week, on Monday mornings and Friday mornings, I'll be on with JB Smith doing a sports talk, which, you know, I said this morning on our first podcast that I'm I've always low-key loved sports and appreciated competition and high-level competition. And we're all adults, and we understand that that corruption kind of runs rampant everywhere. I don't think that removes me from finding an enjoyment in watching a football game or a hockey game or a baseball game. I can still watch it and appreciate the competition for what it is. So the opportunity to kind of do a sports show really jumped out at me, because I think we're also reaching a point in time where a lot of people are weary and fatigued, including a lot of us. And so people need a place to get away from politics and conspiracies 24/7. And so if providing them an avenue to enjoy a sport they enjoy, or just hear a couple guys casually discussing sports and kind of jumping all over the map. And, you know, we feel like it's something people would enjoy, and, you know, to kind of cut away from everything for a little bit and forget all the stuff we constantly face. And it's going to kind of involve in the kind of thing where we're going to have highlights on there and interviews. And, you know, with my video skills, I'm going to be coming up with like top 10 lists and little montages for various legends and dynasties throughout time, and kind of just give tribute to the sports that we love and the competition aspect of it, and appreciating the good things that sports can do and have done throughout history for people. I mean, they haven't always been corrupt and pushing agendas. You know, like the 19 U.S. Olympic hockey team brought an entire country together exactly when it needed it. And that's one of the reasons that I've kind of always loved sports and always will. I also have, you know, like I've got deep bonds, like me and my dad, you know, the typical father son playing catch all the time. And so like, I've just got personal bonds to some of these sports too. And I think like, if I just said, hey, I'm not going to be involved in it anymore, and it's kind of like, to me, that's letting the bad guy take one more means of enjoyment away from me. So I don't want that to happen. And everything I've got coming up, getting myself out there in the podcast, it's been a little intimidating at first, but I've really enjoyed it, man. I've really enjoyed folks like yourself giving me a spot on the shows and letting me kind of introduce myself to people. And it's been really awesome, man. It's been really humbling that some folks like yourself, or even Thomas, who has been doing his podcast for ages, wanted to get me involved in this kind of stuff. It's really cool, man. I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah. And I was happy to be able to help you guys make that connection again. You know, it's like you lose track of people after we got deleted from Twitter. I mean, there were so many people that I used to follow on a regular basis. And like at the same time, you're trying to build up your own account again, get back into the swing of things, you know, not allow it to demoralize you. Keep going, because we got a mission. You know, trying to find all those people, I mean, forget about it. I mean, there are more people that I have forgotten that I used to interact with on a daily basis on Twitter than I've met in the time since then. And, you know, I mean, that's all part of the manipulation and the tactics that they have to try to get us to stop doing what we're doing. But the fact that we're weary is, and we are still here, I think that's a testament to that strength that we've got from God. And I think that, you know, that divine intervention, you know, that divine providence that you mentioned, you know, I think that that covers all of those other options that you had for getting into podcasting, because I think clearly the path that you've been on, led by God to this point, was predestined, and this is exactly where you're meant to be. So I'm really excited to see everything that you've got coming up and everything that we have on Badlands Media. And I'm really happy about where our movement is going in terms of, you know, our evolution, because, you know, what you said also about people being weary and needing to branch out. I've thought this for a very, very long time, you know, like back when I first started doing this, there was only a handful of people on YouTube that like I, you know, really, you know, had anybody paying attention to. You know, I mean, there was just a couple of guys going online and making shows every day. And now you've got literally thousands of options to choose from on a daily basis. And people who are really well educated have, you know, really salient, you know, hits on a lot of different topics. And it's great to watch. But at the same time, you know, we're overloaded with learning about politics and the corruption and the election fraud. You know, if where we have failed in the past with activism, we also failed with entertainment. We allowed the leftists and the intelligence agencies to control the entertainment industry. That was thought of to be the domain of the left. You know, people in the GOP, we were worried about, you know, faith, family, and national security. But we have to be involved in the arts. We have to be involved in sports. We have to be involved in all these different areas that are that people go to escape from all of those other things that we talk about every single day. Because if the only thing you're filling your head with is the doom and gloom and the horrific nature of the way the world is, because believe me, I mean, you could put yourself in the ground pretty easily with this stuff if you didn't allow yourself to kind of tap the valve every now and then, if you know what I'm saying. You got to release that pressure and do something else. So,
a human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
We need to be making programs that are designed for all audiences. We need to be making programs of a variety of topics that are going to help people to decompress it and look at the world in another way, still have fun. You know, I mean, people bash Hollywood and they bash sports. And, you know, I don't think that it's the act of storytelling itself. I mean, it's the people who we allowed to take over those industries that are the problem. You know, they're the ones inserting the propaganda. They're the ones that are inserting the subtle messaging, telling kids that they want to get sex changes when they're 5 years old. You know, they're the ones that are telling people that they need to drink beer and sit on their ass and just watch football and not do anything else out there in the world. It's possible to make quality entertainment that is not geared around politics or corruption, and for people to really enjoy it and to allow themselves to take a step back and breathe from the horrors of the world.
Yeah, I spoke to that on the show with Patriots in Progress the other night, and that was that you know, I am pretty big on predictive programming and entertainment, and particularly its vast role in a very slow, methodical societal conditioning of, mm-hmm. of people as we see it. And, you know, when you look at predictive programming and the way that they've used it, it ties into so much that we've seen. And so I was encouraged this past summer when, you know, I say in my Substack that, like, I watch a lot of movies, and I take a lot of shit for saying that because, oh, you know, you're red-pilled. You shouldn't be playing into that. And the thing is, when I watch a movie, I see it more for research and more for symbolism and what they're showing. And so the first time I watched Top Gun, the very first thing I noticed was that the Chinese flag that was on his bomber jacket in the first movie is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's replaced with a Taiwanese flag. And you start reading on it a little bit more, and you realize that the CCP and their governing movie agent or governing movie agency, like, went at Paramount and Tom Cruise really, really hard to put the Chinese flag back on the jacket. And basically, Paramount and Cruise said, F you, we're leaving it exactly as it is. And as a matter of fact, we just won't release the movie in China. And I took it as a really positive note for where we're starting to see entertainment go. It wasn't the first movie over the summer that was laden of any kind of agenda or any kind of wokeness. Right. And, you know, this movie it's still going. It's made over $2 billion at this point without being released in China, which is the largest movie market in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says something for what as a whole are beginning to want to see. They don't want to see the woke stuff anymore. I take that as an encouraging sign. You watch The Batman, and it was very, very, almost non-existent with any of that stuff. The same thing with Jurassic Park, and I'm starting to see it in more commercials I'm seeing on TV that are kind of, I was watching Sling, or, you know, I can't remember what I had on in the background. It was probably a baseball game, but a commercial came on Sling, and the commercial was literally calling out, like, leftist politician in North Carolina that's, like, the commercial called her a communist. I'm like, wait a second, like, what's going on here? So I'm starting to see, like, a real subtle shift in programming that gives me encouragement that maybe they, in air quotes, aren't really in as much control of that as they used to be. And it's in music too. You know, go listen to some of Muse's new singles. Like, it's pretty direct what he's talking about. You know, he's got one of the songs called Compliance. He's literally saying, you know, hey, if you trust in us, we'll take care of you. And he's kind of saying the whole compliance thing is nonsense. Like, it was It was you know, a rug full, LOL. Love you, G-Money.
Muse, but, I'm a huge Muse fan. I've seen Muse in concert like no fewer than a dozen times. And I haven't heard any of the new stuff just because I haven't listened to any modern music in a really long time. But they've always been really good at subtle types of deprogramming messages, like, you know, like looking at topics and discussing it without openly bringing it. You know, it's like talking about your faith. Like, God is omnipresent in my life, as I'm sure he is in your life, you know. So it Correct. Just goes without saying. It's part of the package. It doesn't mean that you need to, you know, put your faith in anybody's faith in an overt way. It is what it is, you know? I mean, like, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for God, you know? If it wasn't for, you know, that direction, you know, that power that I was given in my life as a direct result of my faith, then, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, I don't think so, man. There's a wonderful motivational speech by Steve Harvey. You've probably seen it.
Of course, I know. Yeah, Steve
Harvey. You've got to jump off the cliff, man, and you're going to hit some rocks and some limbs and some branches on the way down, but their parachute's going to open. You just got to take the leap of faith. And one of the things he said in that speech that really stuck with me was, like, you know, he asked the audience, seriously, I want you all to name one thing in here right now that God hasn't gotten you through.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a hush falls over the crowd. And he's like, exactly, because you're sitting here right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Everybody watching needs to remember that too. Things are tough right now, no doubt. Like, I don't think there's anybody not being touched a good bit by everything going on right now. But you can't lose your faith, because it'll come through for you. It might go down to the last minute before something is figured out for you, but it's always figured out, man. As long as you keep your faith and keep your chin up, like, so it's a big thing for me these days, man. I used to dwell in a place of negativity and black pilledness all the time. It sucked.
Me too.
So, I don't really feel like going back there. I do not allow myself to go back there. Hence the eternal optimist thing. I'm always looking on the bright side, silver lining side of things.
That's honestly one of the things I love about you. I mean, it's really frustrating when you're scrolling through your feed and, like, somebody who, like, normally is pretty upbeat and, you know, trying to think about things in a positive manner, all of a sudden they just go completely black-pilled, say that, you know, it's all a rug pull and it's all going to go to hell in a handbasket. And why did we ever trust anybody, or why did we even bother, you know, to see that? You know, for me, it makes me really sad for that person. But it's almost like, you know, like a betrayal, because we truly are at war. You know, I mean, like, if you and I were in a foxhole together and we had bullets flying over our heads, and all of a sudden you turned to me and said, screw it, it's over, why should we even bother? You know, I mean, then I'd be like, okay, well, you know, great, thanks a lot. You know, what the hell was I doing here with you in the first place? You know? We have to have each other's backs. You have to maintain that positive attitude, because, you know, nobody knows the future. None of us know exactly what's going to happen. And that's one thing I think is very, very important to remember, because so many people get this preconceived notion of exactly what the future is going to look like. And when it doesn't look exactly how they perceived it, then suddenly they're blackpilled. Suddenly everything was for naught, and we might as well just go ahead and jump off a cliff. We can't think that way. Otherwise, we're just going to hand the victory off.
This is 100% why I'm against date fagging of any forms.
Oh, God, me too. Yeah.
I will try to make educated guesses on what kind of trajectories I think things may take, but I legitimately hate it when people send me DMs or ask me questions and kind of put me on the spot and ask me, when do you think it will happen? And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to name any names, because I fly above drama or try my best too, but there are certainly influencers within the movement that like to, it's a very shilly tactic. It will give you a date. Something's going to happen. You get your hopes up. It doesn't happen. And you're demoralized a little more. Rinse and repeat until you're completely black-pilled from constantly having your hopes slashed.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why I'm 100% putting dates on anything. And I would advise people against really buying into anybody who's saying that X action is going to happen on Y date. Like, it's we were told explicitly by Q that operators don't divulge. And you know what? You take Q out of the picture there, and anybody who's a military fan, such as myself, and who has who's just done a ton of research and has a ton of friends who are in the military, you know, when they're on a mission and they say they don't divulge, that is exactly what the F they mean. None of them are talking about it. We could be in amongst these folks every day, man, and we'd be none the wiser. They're not going to cozy up to us and say, hey, man, I got a secret for you. Like, let me tell you what I'm involved with. It doesn't work that way.
If they do, it's an op. You know, I mean, we are living in a very different world, a different type of communication and a different type of psychological operation that is happening around us at all times. And it's not like any one group that's doing it. I mean, there is constant signal interference coming from as many different countries as you can possibly imagine. Private organizations, individuals, and then even within each of those data streams, you're talking about compartmentalized information that is perhaps unknown to the people that they are working directly next to. Like, you have to be so careful and understand that 99% of what you hear is probably already massaged in some way.
Yeah, I've been firm on the stance for a while that, like, we are legitimately in World War III right now. Like, Absolutely. It's, you know, it's not the whole boots on the ground, sending in the Air Force to ravage everything first, bombing with artillery from out in the ocean, you know, your battleships and whatnot. That stuff's obsolete. You don't need to do that anymore. And so the new atmosphere is very much information and technology based. And it's very much, a psyop for hearts and minds on a mass global scale. Mm-hmm. And it has absolutely shifted gears. I mean, when you think about things that you see in a war, you see food shortages, you see supply chain issues, you see people being locked down and forced to stay home. You see people's civil rights taken away from them because of quote emergency measures. I'm sorry, folks, but are these not all things we've seen over the past couple of years?
Absolutely.
We're at war worldwide. And I want the people listening to understand, I don't mean that in a negative doomer context. You have to understand, too, there are plenty of very good people who are fighting the very good fight and who love this country dearly. And I don't believe for a second that all the woke stuff we've seen from the military is necessarily true. I'm a big, big fan of Sun Tzu and the Art of War. I'm a big fan of appear weak when you're strong. You know, I've read all the Q drops, same as you, same as most people involved. And like, I just feel like as bad as it's going to look, I know that we're going to win. And I just don't want people to think think any different. Like, just keep your head in the game and don't let any of the fog get you out of place and understand the information you're getting, no matter where it may come from, is probably massaged in some way. And that's why it's important for me when I try to put something out that, if it's found to be wrong, I try to correct it and recant myself immediately. Like, I never want to lead somebody wrong and have them down the wrong path. So, you know, and it's interesting what we're seeing. You mentioned a few minutes ago about you're having thousands of folks pop up with different podcasts and Substacks. And what I think you're seeing is the grassroots initiation of the legacy media being replaced is what you're witnessing. Because it's clear by the numbers, nobody cares about CNN and NBC and all this crap anymore. People are hungry and thirsty for legitimate, real people just giving them real, unbiased news that they can make their own decision and opinions from. It's awesome, man. I know it seems scary, but it's a hell of a time to be alive, too.
Yeah, I mean, you can't renovate your bathroom without breaking a couple of tiles, you know? I mean, like, it's inevitable. Right. You're going to have to tear some stuff down in order to build it back up. And I look at that the same way as I do, you know, the entirety of the system. You know, and people are so desperate for this corruption to end and for the criminality to come to a close. But we're fighting a multi-generational war here, and unfortunately, it's going to take time to undo all of that evil that's been wrought here in America and abroad. Now, we are almost at the end of the show, but, you know, just thinking about this idea of psyops and the fifth generation warfare that we're kind of in right now, a couple of months ago, when the fourth psyops group released that Ghost in the Machine video, that set the movement on fire. And personally, it felt to me like that was a major, major marker. I'd like to get your opinions on that and what you saw from it.
I firmly believe that was a message from our guys to them. Like, it totally felt like an F around and find out to me. It totally felt like we're everywhere. We've seen everything you've done and we have it all. So no matter what, it's game over for you. And I think that it really makes me think hard about a lot of the stuff we've seen. It makes me think about the Afghan withdrawal, the C-130 on the runway. And I saw quite a few people with really compelling posts that were saying, look, that wasn't even a real plane. Like, this is just all complete psyops. I've had my questions about how much of the money that's being approved to the Ukraine is really going to Ukraine versus how much of that we're being told that's what's being sent there to piss us off. How many illegals are really coming in over the border versus what is the number we're being told to piss us off? I think that the Ghost and the Machine, the Ghost Army, were not just limited to World War II, man. I'm fairly certain that if we speak of white hats, I think that's probably an element of that. And that's how I took that video. And, you know, being familiar with Q as you are, Q quite often told us that 23 equals pain, and the Ghost Army in World War II was known as the 23rd. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of interesting. I fully think that there's something like that in play. I think, honestly, man, folks like me and you, we put our opinions out, we put our posts out, we work amongst brilliant colleagues that write fantastic articles and put fantastic videos together of their own and do a great job of explaining things. But ultimately, I don't even think any of us know a damn thing about what's going on. I think that we don't know what we don't know. And I think that there is far more going on behind the curtain than any single one of us can come close to comprehending. What I do know is that being down the rabbit hole as long as I've been, I mean it when I say I've never seen the deep state so exposed. They are used to working in the shadows. They're used to sweeping these things under the rug. They're used to not really facing scrutiny. And I truly believe that when the boomerang starts and they start getting special investigations and special counsels hung on them, that stuff's going to stick and we're going to see the justice. And I know that a lot of people don't want to hear that, but you know, you can't rebuild everything about this country without finding a way to rebuild the trust in the justice system. And to do that, you've got to have legitimate trials with legitimate convictions and legitimate sentencing. So I think we're going to see that as well. And I think there's a lot of hope to come. It's going to get bumpy in the short term, but I think that there's a lot of good stuff to come, man. And I think it really is an exciting time, a historical time to be alive.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, one of the things that's difficult for people is understanding, you know, why President Trump just didn't snap his fingers and fix everything. And why is it that we have to go through the perception of all of this negativity that's happening, all these terrible decisions that are being made by an illegitimate regime? And, you know, at the end of the day for me, I've always thought that this operation was about waking as many people up, everybody, if possible. But obviously, you know, a couple percentage points of those people are never going to wake up because they are diehard Antifa leftists or radical leftists, and they will just never change their mind because they can't be wrong. But in order to convince everyone that the system we have is just absolutely broken, and if we're going to fix it, the only way to do is replace it. I mean, how else can you do that other than actually showing people, like putting the evidence in front of them and giving them two choices? Either you keep eating shit or you start shoveling it out the door. Okay. You know, I mean, that's it, you know? And as far as I'm concerned, we're shoveling that shit out of the house. And the other people in America that weren't already on board with us are now coming to that same realization.
Yeah. The thing is, man, you know, I think a lot of us back then were kind of thinking that the drops were pointing toward Trump was going to do something like that. But the further you get away from it, you see why it had to be this way. And that is, look, man, we could wake up tomorrow and the military could move in all these bad players and game over and Trump's back in office. But explain to me how in any way, shape or form that begins to rebuild faith in the justice system. Because from somebody who isn't like us from the outside looking in, they go, that's neat, but that just tells me your justice system was still so corrupt that the military had to step in and do their job.
Yeah.
So I don't discount that. I've long said military is the only way, and I don't discount that they're going to play a role at some point in all of this. But I think too, with some of these folks, that you'll see how the left consistently used special investigations and special counsels against us that never really stuck and always fall apart. I think once you see a red wave and you see Republicans take back control of the Congress and Senate, and you see them start to levy their weight around a little bit, you'll start to see special investigations and special counsels sprung on them. Except when we do it, it's going to stick. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take a little bit of time, you know, going through trial by trial, but slowly and slowly that will restore justice in the American justice system and say, look, here's some very high level people that you never thought were touchable, and they're about to go to prison. I mean, I said earlier, with Sean on his show, like, Trump really hasn't broken any promises, man. And he promised he was going to arrest her. Mm-hmm. So it's going to happen. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. And things are getting quite interesting right now. Not enough for me to say that it's going to happen before the midterms, but mm-hmm. there is just a lot going on, man. And I think we're reaching some sort of a blow off point with something one way or another soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there are a lot of phrases that get thrown around. Military is the only way. That's, a commonly heard one. But at the end of the day, the question I've always asked is, you know, military is the only way, but in what way? You know, I mean, because people hear that and they think, oh, that means that the army's going to, you know, walk through the streets and they're just going to arrest all the deep staters. Well, not necessarily. You know, I mean, like, it could be about a completely different scenario. You know, at the end of the day, the military is what keeps the United States safe. It's what keeps everybody honest. And if we have deep state apparatus that has infiltrated the military in the same way that they've infiltrated the political system and the electoral system, business and banking, you know, we have to clean out all of it. There are undoubtedly bad people who have risen to positions of power that are going to have to be removed. And yes, the American people need to see an impartial, truly impartial form of justice take place, and for people who have broken laws to pay for those laws, especially the ones that were committed against the United States of America. And, you know, so treason, obviously, I think that to me, the military seems like the best way to do an impartial trial. And, you know, military tribunals are what people have all been waiting for.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't think that we would see the quote unquote sweeping mass arrests right. that a lot of people are expecting. And I touched upon this last week with Thomas, but, you know, you've got some of these players, former presidents, vice presidents, national security advisors who actively stole or actively sold state secrets to mm-hmm. other countries, namely China. And yep. That's treason, my dude. And yep. so you have to, at some point, a precedent of some point has to be set so that nobody coming down the line is going to think about doing it again. So I don't think that we'll go completely devoid of the military getting involved when the rubber actually meets the road. If our DOJ is as corrupt as we've seen it is currently, who's going to arrest the traitors? It's not going to be the DOJ. And we do have millions of men and women in uniform that swore an oath to defend this country against, you know, enemies foreign and domestic. And I know a few of them personally, and they take that very seriously. And I know quite a few of them are well aware of what's going on. And that there was more than enough between his inauguration and a few other things we've all seen surrounding it that suggest to me that they don't recognize him as their commander in chief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we've seen the woke show in the military with a lot of the policies and a lot of the stuff. And as you've seen in my posts and in the group chats and stuff, I'm a big believer in optics being used 100 ways from Sunday. I've taken shit for the following, and I don't think Mark Milley is at all a black hat. I think everything you've seen with that dude has been a show. I don't think people, and rightfully so, because the anger after the election and everything, but I don't think a lot of people realize that Milley and Ratcliffe were with Trump at the Army-Navy game the Saturday after the election. And I don't think at that stage in the game With everything that was at stake, I really don't think Donald Trump is going to have a black hat right next to him.
Well, I mean, to that point, Donald Trump has, well, first of all, it's Washington, D.C. The pool of talent from which you have to choose is fairly shallow. And Donald Trump has, and he has consistently had people who I would say 100%, they are black hats in his direct periphery. It's inevitable. And, you know, my perspective is that Donald Trump is very excellent at using relationships and people to get the outcomes that he wants. And if that means that he has to be in close proximity to somebody whose intentions are aligned against him, he's smart enough and he's savvy enough to be able to figure out how to use that person and their ego to get what he wants and what he needs, which, you know, ultimately is for the saving of America.
Yeah. And I won't dismiss that at all, man. And so when it comes to the whole black hat, white hat thing, when I get into it, it's a lot of fun for me. I don't put a lot of weight into it because I really, sure. I really believe that like a lot of this stuff would shock us. You know, it wouldn't shock me if a lot of people we swear are white hats are actually working against us in the long run. It wouldn't surprise me if a lot of folks we swear up and down are black hats are working for us in the long run. I'm a big believer in like, you know, working in the dark to serve the light is a thing, but it also goes both ways, like psyops and deception. And when you're getting into that kind of war level, especially when it's about information and knowledge and controlling vast societal narratives and, you really can't rule anything out, man. No. And I think that I think you're dead on the money. I think that Donald Trump is I think at this point in his game, at this point, it's clear that the man is smarter than any of us ever gave him credit for when he was doing the whole reality TV spiel and, mm-hmm. and all of that. I think that he's the 5D chess thing has become kind of a moniker and a little bit of an inside joke. And it is what it is. But it really does apply. It seems like he's always these steps ahead, no matter what. It seems like he, black hat or not, knows the strings to pull to get the desired effect from that person. And it's brilliant. And I don't know what brings him back into office. I don't know if we go all the way to 2024. I've said in multiple shows that I think the current trajectory of the escalation of things, I don't know how it lasts till 2024.
I think we're going to be surprised. I think that no matter what, it's going to it's not going to be what anybody thinks it's going to be. And that even if we have to, deal with Joe Biden in some form or factor for the next 2 years, I think at the end of the day, America survives and President Trump will be back when it's time.
I don't know that I would have agreed with that statement at this point last year. But I think what you're seeing here is kind of it's a post 9/11 effect, except it's on much more of a slow burn. Mm-hmm. So you're starting to see more and more Americans slowly come together because they've realized something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And so whether option A happens and the military pulls the plug and there's a specially held military election and Donald Trump is back within weeks, or whether they pull this thing out for another 2 years, I do think that the good guys are in control, and I do think that enough people are getting to the point where the American spirit is starting to get reawoken. And I think once that spirit snaps into all Americans like it did after 9/11, once they realize that they've been had in an attempt to take over their country, maybe that's what nothing can stop is what's coming, or nothing can stop what's coming. Because when the American spirit gets woken up in full, it doesn't really get stopped. And I have full faith in that, man. I really do. So whichever way it goes, I'm confident in the way that it goes, if that makes sense. If we have the red wave in November and the Congress and Senate go Republican, okay, fine, Joe, stay president. We don't give a shit. There's no power there. There's, he's going to keep writing off executive orders. Okay, whatever, dude, we've dealt with it for 2 years. We'll deal with it two more if we have to. So I think that, the most important thing is that we continue building the base that we have. We continue getting people locally involved. It's making a difference. I promise folks, it makes a difference.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, guys, we've got to sign off for the day because Paul has a ton of shows coming up and he's already done several hours today and he's on the tail end of coming out of a sickness. So let me go through the questions and the thank yous that we've got over here on the Foxhole. Elizabeth G., thank you very much for that cookie. K-C-A-J-U-S-P-S. Tell me how to pronounce that, but thank you for the shades. Porpoiseful, thank you for the can. Woke and Walked says, amen to your righteous missions. God bless both you and your work. And then also says, testify. Just Duckies says, your videos are something that are amazing and uplifting to so many people, especially in these dark times.
Thank you.
Yeah. Spiritual Warrior says, great find, RP. His work is truly motivating. Yeah, absolutely. I feel the exact same way. Liberty Bell says, thank you so much, RP. Love you. Empress Bitch to You dropped a cookie. Elizabeth G as well. And then Lou NV says, great show. Good to meet you, Absolute. And then Empress, thank you for another cookie and another cookie and another cookie and another cookie. And Just Ducky says, it's a gift God gave all people that they must work on themselves. We must remain positive. And yes, and you know, the thing about that is it's not easy. I mean, it is a constant work in progress. It's probably the easiest thing in the world to just say, you know what, I guess it's today, Satan. Just go ahead and allow yourself to go to the dark side, to be blackpilled, and to give up. But as soon as you give up on God. Low Country Brooklyn said, follow Absolute Truth on Truth Social at Absolute 1776. And then she also dropped the Badlands Media from Truth Social at Badlands Media. Karen Harris says, where we go one, we go all. Tanette Booth with a cookie. Oki7 with some shades. Tanette Booth dropped the Give, Send, Go for my friend, Son of a Green Card. You guys, Son of a Green Card is on his way very shortly to a rehab center in an undisclosed location. I can't say where it is, but he had surgery this past week. He is he's continually getting better, and I truly do believe it's because of the hopes and prayers that you guys are sending out on a daily basis. Please go to his Give, Send, Go and continue to leave prayers for he and his family because he has literally done the impossible by coming out on the other side of this. My buddy, Son of a Green Card, Paul, was in a horrific motorcycle accident. He hit an animal while he was going full speed, I would assume, you know, 50, 60, 70 miles an hour. And the animal died. And he didn't, but he was badly, badly damaged, and his brain was swelling. He was in a medical coma for a while, and now he's got a long road ahead of him to rehabilitate. But honestly, everybody has just been amazing. I really appreciate your help, you guys. Low Country Brooklyn also said, follow Patel Patriot on Rumble. The alt kings are alt kinging at Patel Patriot. Sean Joe, thanks for the cookie. Lou NV says, I think the Trump card is waiting in Cheyenne Mountain. Mountain Dog Boy says, gold pills for Red Pill 78. A Boneless Chicken says, two of the best in our community. Very nice to spend the evening with you both. Thank you very much. I enjoy having low-key conversations with people who I believe are brilliant minds. So it's been great having you here tonight, Paul. And then Kaboomer dropped a can. Thank you very much, Kaboomer. And finally, please, one more time, tell everybody where they can find you. And then I always like to ask the guests at the end of the show what they want the audience to take most from our conversation.
All right, so you can find me on Truth Social at Absolute 1776. You can find me on Telegram, t.me/absolute1776. My Rumble channel is rumble.com/absolute1776. And the election fraud series I mentioned earlier with Captain Seth Keschel can be found at rumble.com/thebattlegrounds. And I will never charge for my content, for my videos, for my articles on Substack. But should you like to throw me a tip on Buy Me a Coffee, that address is buymeacoffee.com/JTFAC1776. You know, if you take anything from this episode, take the overall message that God is with you and wear your armor and stand strong and walk in your light and truth and conviction and you're protected. We'll be okay. Like, we're winning. Don't lose hope and don't lose faith. You know, I kind of always sign off that way. It's something I like to project and put out there. My mom did it, and she's not around anymore, so I kind of have to keep it going for her, man. Like, always keep a smile on your face and do what you can to walk forward with your chin held high and understand that we're walking a bigger mission here than we can see, and we're on the right side of history.
Amen. Amen. Also, over on Buy Me a Coffee, someone said, enjoy your insight, appreciate your hard work, and love how you support your fellow streamers. And then Smash said, I love Red Pill 78. You are my go-to for all of the info that is going on in this backwards world. Thank you for all you do. And also Louise had said, you're the best. I saw you with John last night. It was a great show. Hope to see more. And your message is spot on. Thank you for all you do. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you once again to Paul at Absolute Night 1776 for being here. Really appreciate you, buddy. I was awesome to meet you for the brief time that we did at the pit. Everything got kind of short and we didn't get to hang out like we thought we were. So I'm hoping we can do some more shows together because I love your perspective and I love the inspiring message that you put out there to the world. It's something that's desperately needed. Everybody is at the end of their ropes and be careful, you guys. There are quite literally psychic, spiritual and electronic attacks going on around you all the time. And I have seen quite literally the internet on fire for the last couple of weeks. And just don't forget, at the end of the day, God's got your back. You're absolutely right. So until next time, everyone, good luck and God bless. And here come the scratchins over on the Foxhole. Thank you for hanging out with us, guys. Thank you once again, Paul. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
My pleasure, man. Good night.
Night, Fritz Springmeier, 9 p.m. Fritz Springmeier, Bloodlines of the Illuminati, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. See you then. Forget, if you didn't get the links during the show, you can always go to the description of the show. I've got links to Paul's channels and handles in the description. Just go down there and get them. And please do me a favor, follow him, and I'll hopefully see you tomorrow for Fritz Springmeier. All right, thanks for being here. Bye.